This show furnished by Taste Bud Entertainment.
Welcome to a delicious hour of culinary conversation with Chef Jamie Gwen. Dish with celebrity chefs, cookbook authors, trendsetters, and food experts, and gain inspirational ideas to feed your soul. You'll learn kitchen wisdom, wine education, and lifestyle tips, and you'll eat and drink like never before. Food and Wine with Chef Jamie Gwen starts now.
If it's heavenly or herbaceous, grilled or glazed, juicy or julienned, marinated or mashed, or mouth-watering in the least, if it is edible, you will hear about it here. A very good weekend to you food lovers, Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. If you have a taste for life, well, then this is your show, because every weekend I'm sharing mouth-watering radio commentary on everything delicious. I have the best culinary thinkers, authors, and experts that I highlight each show. Plus, I cover health and wellness, travel tech, wine, mixology, and more, because it is my goal to feed your soul. This is your destination for delicious conversation, and I'll help you bring it all together, from shopping to preparation, presentation, and cultivating your best and most delectable dishes. And there are no reservations needed, so I do hope that you'll tune in. You can always find my tasty podcasts on iTunes, listed under Food and Wine with Chef Jamie Gwen, if you happen to have missed a show. I'm always serving up seconds at chefjamie.com, and my daily dish of shameless deliciousness is posted on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, on social at Chef Jamie Gwen. So let's kick off this show, shall we, with some delicious conversation. Excuse the stuffy nose. I'm tormented by the same cold that you have this winter season. And I don't know what it is about the cold winter months, but I crave comfort food, of course, and I crave loaf breads, and I dream of banana bread. So I thought that I would use my kickoff here, as I do for every show, a tutorial of sorts, a technique to make you better cook in your own kitchen, when I aspire to wax poetic at the start of this show every weekend. I thought we would master and make brilliant banana bread today. Now, I love banana bread, maybe because I was raised on banana bread. My mom makes really delicious banana bread. It feels homey and comforting. And so I gave into my craving this past week. I perfected, because every time I make it, I change something just a wee bit, my tried and true recipe. And so I have a few secrets to brilliant banana bread and one incredible magic trick. So please keep listening. You want to start with very ripe, preferably speckled, almost black bananas when it comes to banana bread. And if you find that your bananas aren't as soft or sweet as you would like, you peel the bananas, you break them into chunks, and you place them in a microwave-safe bowl. Now, mind you, I am a Culinary Institute of America graduate up in upstate Hyde Park, New York, from a lot of years ago. And this is not a trick that they taught in culinary school, nor during the time I spent in professional kitchens. I've had the privilege of spending the last almost 20 years on television and the radio, and I want you to know that this microwave trick is one I've mastered myself. So, going back, if your bananas for banana bread are not as sweet or soft as you would like, you break them into chunks, peel removed, you put them into a microwave-safe bowl, and you microwave them in 30-second increments until they are warm throughout, and then you cool them before using. Now, the heat of the microwave actually compounds the sugars, and it assists in the aging process of the banana. And it really works well. It works wonders, actually. Now, if you happen to collect bananas that get overripe with the hopes of making banana bread a couple of weeks or a month down the road, then you do what I do. You freeze the bananas when they get overripe and they're no longer fun to eat in their fresh state. And so just so you know, that actually compounds the sugars as well. And it's a wonderful way to collect bananas, essentially, for what will become very delicious banana bread. But if you're using frozen bananas, be sure to thaw them completely before you use them and place them in a strainer so that any of the condensation that accumulates drips away. You do not want watery bananas, by the way. Okay, back to the technique. You can add depth of flavor and texture to your banana bread with the addition of a multitude of delectable ingredients. Like peanut butter lovers, you should add a few tablespoons of peanut butter to the unsalted butter before you soften it for a heavenly peanut butter banana bread. And mind you, yes, I said butter, because I think that a zucchini loaf is wonderful with olive oil, but I think a banana bread is best with butter. You could consider swirling marshmallow fluff into the batter. That's very Elvis style, isn't it? I personally add coffee for depth of flavor, and I make a chocolate banana bread, and I think anything chocolate needs a bit of coffee. I like chopped dark chocolate and toasted walnuts in mine. And then I take the chocolate dust from the cutting board that's left from chopping the chocolate, and I sprinkle it on top for beauty's sake. And you most often see banana bread in a loaf pan, right? But here's an interesting fact about loaf pans. Did you know that there is not one uniform size? Rather, there are a bunch of crazy sizes that are only slightly different from each other. So you can use a variety of different size pans. You just want to adjust your baking time accordingly. And you start testing the breads for doneness using a cake tester or a toothpick about 10 minutes before you anticipate that they will be done baking. The crumb on the toothpick should come out dry when you test to assure that the breads are cooked through. And you want to make sure that the banana bread is no longer piping hot before you take your first bite, because it takes the cooling process on a banana bread specifically for the gummy texture to dissipate. And now to the magic. I promised you a magic trick, and here it is. My stellar recipe, and I say that humbly, but I do believe it's stellar, combines sour cream and baking powder, which creates a chemical reaction. When you combine those two ingredients, the acid in the sour cream activates the baking powder, and it creates this very aerated mixture that when you add it to the batter, it elevates your banana bread to a whole new level. The reaction creates this cake-like crumb and this banana bread with deep banana flavor and plenty of moisture and this nice light consistency. And I really do believe that it is culinary magic. Now, the texture of a banana bread is best when it is eaten warm from the oven, but cooled first, of course. But, you know, as in same day, maybe later that afternoon, cup of tea, a little bit of cream cheese for a schmear. Oh, now I'm making myself hungry. But you can store the banana breads, by the way, covered tightly with plastic wrap. I think they last up to about 3 days for the best flavor. And of course, you can visit chefjamie.com for the recipe aforementioned, or you can email me and I will send it to you personally. My email address, Jamie, J-A-M-I-E, at chefjamie.com. It might just be the best dark chocolate banana bread that you have ever made, or ever had for that matter. And yes, it is made with butter instead of oil. I think it is the top banana. And I use a stand mixer to make it, but you could essentially make it by hand. Wait till you taste it. It is really, truly scrumptious. Once again, the best dark chocolate banana bread recipe ever. Email me, jamie@chefjamie.com. Okay, it's time for some food news this week. I have two exciting mentions for you to sink your teeth into. Well, one that you have to sip, but all the better. It was just announced that this coming summer, 2018, the first Museum of Candy ever will open in New York City. It is a 30,000 square foot museum and a grand attraction for sweet fanatics. It's called the Museum of Candy by Sugar Factory, and it will feature 15 experimental rooms, each with its own candy theme. There will also be a dessert marketplace with over 20 vendors. Okay, I'm all for that. A full service restaurant and an outdoor Sugar Factory cafe. And visitors will be invited to chow down on sweets, pose in front of the world's largest gummy bear. Fun. Learn about the history of candy and watch various treats being made. The Museum of Candy, once again, officially opening this summer in New York City. So expect your Instagram feed to get taken over by pictures of giant gummy bears in a matter of months. I think that's exciting. And I do have some vodka news for you. Hangar One is set to release a rosé vodka this summer. And that's cause for celebration, right? To create this totally new liquor, Hangar One is starting with its signature straight vodka, which is, by the way, distilled from grains and grapes. And they're combining it with a Northern California rosé blend of Petit Verdot and White Meritage. And this resulting concoction is supposed to feature flavors that are very unique to both beverages, which I think is a really extraordinary combination to really dream about. Like many rosés, Hangar One Rosé Vodka is said to have that floral scent with the notes of apple and peach and citrus. However, it has an acidic finish that is closer to what you'd expect to get from a sip of regular vodka. Now, I haven't tasted it yet. I'm going only on the press release and some insider information, but I have to tell you, I can't wait to get my hands on some. So be sure to look for Hangar One Rosé Vodka and let me know if you see it before I do. And I will toast you, of course. Now, Southern California food lovers, you have good taste, and so you're buying great vodka and gummy bears for that matter, and all of your essential groceries at Smart and Final. But did you know that Smart and Final is now delivering? Oh, yes, and your first delivery is free. So, seeing that you love fabulous food and you love listening to this show, I will say I am very proud to have Smart and Final as a supporter and sponsor making this program possible. So I do hope you're shopping there because Smart and Final stores are better than ever. At Smart and Final and Smart and Final Extra, you'll find everything from restaurant quality meats and beautiful cheeses to bulk bean bins and brilliant breads. You'll find glorious produce, really great dairy, a liquor, beer, wine, an alcohol section that can't be beat. And you'll find exceptional values because you see, there is a place in your neighborhood where you can find farmers market freshness with sizes large and small, a grocery store and a club store combined, no membership fees, and prices up to 25% lower than supermarkets. Oh yes, that place is Smart and Final. Everything you need for family dinners, supplies for weekend parties, even organics and locally sourced products available at Smart and Final. So if you're looking for a better supermarket, you should skip the supermarket and go to a Smart and Final store for real savings of up to 25% every day. Check it out. Find a store near you at smartandfinal.com. And please don't touch your dial because there is lots more scintillating conversation coming up in your radio this hour. We're adding flavor and spicing up your life. Up next, Mark Stevens is cooking with spices as he drops by. And before the end of the hour, Dr. Rachel Hertz is a neuroscientist who will share the psychology of why you eat what you eat. Oh, how I love digging deeper. I'm Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio, and there is lots more to feed your soul right after this.
If you've fallen behind on your taxes, you know that the IRS is already coming for their money, and they'll get it too by garnishing your wages or maybe even taking your home or business. They call it enforced compliance, and you'd better watch out because the penalties and interest compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. You need to call the experts at Optima Tax Relief. Solving tax issues is all they do. One call to Optima starts the process to stop the demand letters and stop aggressive collection actions. They get to work immediately, fighting to protect your assets and helping you put your tax problems behind you. The IRS writes off millions every year, and Optima knows all the ins and outs of the IRS's tax assistance programs that could save you thousands. So what are you waiting for? Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-367-6289. 800-367-6289. 800-367-6289.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're going to let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I met someone. You hear it a lot from people on Match, because more people have met their someone on Match than any other dating app. Everyone wants to find that meaningful connection. And Match is not only number one in first, but second dates too. Now here's a free offer for our listeners. Go to match.com/search for 7 days free. That's 7 days completely free to search, view photos, and connect. This free offer is found at match.com/search. That's match.com/search. Match.com/search.
Making your dishes come alive with flavor every weekend. Welcome back, Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. Knowing how to balance flavor and spice, no doubt, transforms a dish. But whether you're looking to liven up what's already in the fridge, or maybe you're adventurous and trying something new, figuring out that just right blend of spices is a masterful technique. Cooking with Spices, 100 recipes for blends, marinades, and sauces from around the world, the new cookbook release from Mark Stevens, sends your taste buds on a journey to make rubs and blends and sauces and pastes that will make your dishes come alive. Mark is here to dish, and I'm delighted. He learned to cook from his Italian mother and grandmother, and he's an alchemist of sorts. When he's not in the kitchen, he works on films and television shows as an assistant director. And yes, we loved Dallas Buyers Club, Mark. He's a resident of New Orleans, which means a cocktail or two is involved, so I like him more. And the book is really a fabulous tutorial to get to know your spices and to make dishes that really are full of extraordinary flavor. I'm so glad to have you, Mark. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Chef, of course.
Chef Jamie, thank you for having me.
Congratulations. First book, a work of art. And I think a really insightful education with a lot of wonderful history steeped throughout. So we'll start at the beginning. What is a spice by definition?
By definition, what separates a spice from an herb or a mineral like salt, which is included in the book as well, is that while an herb is the leaf or at times the stem of a plant, dried or fresh, the spice is derived from basically any other derivative of the plant. So root, seed, rhizome, flower, bud, stick, and it can be a pod, a stem, such as star anise. And they are toasted, roasted, crushed, grinded, pulverized into powder or used whole to enhance the flavorfulness of our dishes.
And while the definition doesn't have to be rigid, they all have a different category of sorts. And so I think that that lesson is an insightful sort of mindfulness that we need to use them all differently. But they do need to be stored properly first in order to get the most out of them. So just if you would, a quick review for fine cooks everywhere. We always say dark, dry, cool place, right?
That's correct.
Yes, and you mentioned the freezer, too.
So, yes, whole spices can be stored in the freezer. It's all about preservation of flavor, right? So cool, dark places effectively hold the flavor longer. And it's science in terms of surface area. The whole spice has less surface area than the powder, so oils will not evaporate and dissipate as quickly. You're talking for a powder 6 to 12 months. For a really flavor-packed country. And then for whole spices, it can any be anywhere from 2 to 3 years, and you can crush them, of course, in a mortar, pestle, and mixer. But the biggest thing is sunlight is a no-no. Heat is a no-no. So oftentimes, as improvisational chefs, we like to just open the spice package. You should store it in a either glass or metal tin and pour it right over your cooking stove or whatever is on the burner, which is a huge no-no because that's all heat and all moisture just coming right up. And then you close the lid and that's all sealed right in there. And that can lead to a less flavorful spice quicker. What I do is buy them in bulk and then separate them into metal or glass mini containers and then put them away, and they store much, much longer.
Very smart. I love that you allude to loving living in New Orleans as well. Or because because I trained there, I feel that I've earned the right to say Nolens, just so you know.
Okay,
so noted. In Nolens, the humidity being so high that you talk about storing your spices in a bag of rice to try to resist clumping. And I think that's really smart.
Absolutely, and it's the old-fashioned way in moisture-ridden New Orleans that we fix our cellular phones as well.
Right.
Storing them in rice. So it works for spices, too. You know, we grew up doing it with salt. My mm-hmm. mom was a big proponent, and my friends would come over and be very confused as to why there was rice in the salt.
Mm-hmm.
But, it just allows something to take the moisture before it gets to the spice itself.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great reminder to for all of us to do that. We'll get to some of the recipes that create bold, brilliant flavor, but I want to pause at the teas that you speak to for your health. We know that these spices, many of them, have very powerful antioxidants and health benefits. And so when it comes to infusions, talk to us.
So infusions are a great way to promote health and lesser things that we don't think about as often, like digestion or restlessness at night. And sometimes we don't associate that with being sick, but it's something that definitely can improve our day-to-day lives. And tea can get expensive, as anybody who hangs out with me knows. So another thing you can do, most spice stores also sell herbs. And together they can make really amazing combinations. And you can just take a spare spice jar, combine them yourself, and then infuse your own teas based on your own needs. And I had a wonderful resource in this book called Healing Spices that sort of backs some of the medical information up with studies. And sometimes they are just trial studies, but it is something backed in science that can help you. And I tried to incorporate some of that into these teas. And specifically one of them, which is a cold tea, is called Dragon Fire Cider, which is sort of popular here in the South in some circles. And this stuff is a nuclear bomb to whatever sickness is going on inside of you.
Hmm.
As soon as I feel anything coming on, I take it like emergency. My friend here in New Orleans makes it. She's a farmer and provides me an ample dosage, and I just take a teaspoon in the morning, teaspoon at night, and it just cleans you right out. The unfiltered apple cider vinegar also helps with that, as
yes.
does the horseradish.
And then, yes.
Of course, the turmeric, which most people are familiar with from a beneficial standpoint, which I think we're going to talk about here in a bit.
Yeah, anti-inflammatory, of course. That tea has it all. You say it wards off colds. I would think it wards off vampires, too. but it's onion, ginger, turmeric, horseradish, burdock root, dried hibiscus in an unfiltered raw apple cider vinegar base. And I'm all for the homeopathic approach. And if it does clean you out, and if it, you know, at the first sniffle makes you feel better, then why wouldn't you taste it, drink it, you know, make it a daily ritual?
100%. And it wakes you up. I mean, it's just getting like a punch right in the gut. That's
I could
great.
Imagine. Let's talk roasting and toasting for a moment. Give us a tutorial. Because I think the heat we expose our spices to, specifically like for a dry rub, I'm always toasting the spices first. The oils release. The aromatics come out. I think that you get such better, intense flavor. Do you agree?
1,000%.
Okay, good.
If 1,000% can be a percent, then absolutely.
Yes, 1,000% is a percent.
It creates a whole nother level, several levels in terms of some spices to what is happening with the flavor of your spice. And some spices, I think it's absolutely necessary. Like, do not use the spice unless you roast it and toast it. Asafoetida is one of those that comes to mind. Another is fenugreek. And it brings this earthy, smoky, often vibe to the spice. And it really can open it up in a really beautiful way. And some spices need longer than others. Certainly some of the smaller spices like anise will be much shorter than, say, sesame seed or something. However, you can just put it right in the pan. It only takes 1 to 5 minutes tops, and as soon as you start to smell the change, you can take it right off, and it's so easy. Half the time, you don't even need oil or anything like that,
right.
And highly recommended.
Yeah, I think oftentimes it's the only way to go. Mark, do you have more time? Please don't go. Will you stay with me?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to continue to savor spices, and when we come back, the author of the new cookbook release, Cooking with Spices, Mark Stevens, Mark C. Stevens, to be specific, if you're following him for his daily dish, will share with us some of his best spice combinations. You won't want to miss it. There is more fabulous food in your radio right after this. Don't touch your dial. Chef Jamie Gwen here. So you need a loaf of bread for lunches this week. Maybe steaks or chicken for dinner. Maybe snacks and drinks for that Winter Olympics viewing party you're having. Well, it's a good thing Smart and Final has you covered, right? You might know Smart and Final as that place where you stock up, but today they are so much more. It's the new and better than ever Smart and Final and Smart and Final Extra stores, where there's no membership fee required, but you can still stock up on sizes large and small, like a grocery store and a club store combined. But you can now pick up your groceries for the week at prices lower than other grocery stores. It's true. There is a place in your neighborhood where you can find farmers market freshness, more club sizes than a club store, and prices up to 25% lower than supermarkets. At Smart and Final, you really get it all. Restaurant quality meats and cheeses for those family dinners, supplies for the weekend parties, organics and locally sourced products, and some really cool gourmet stuff that you just can't find anywhere else. So if you're looking for a better supermarket, well then skip the supermarket and go to a Smart and Final store for real savings of up to 25% every day. This week you'll find exceptional values at Smart and Final as well, like fresh Foster Farms whole chickens, just 77 cents per pound, and large tomatoes, just 79 cents per pound. And did you know that Smart and Final is now delivering and your first delivery is free? Check it out and find a store near you at Smart and Final.
Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Gary Garrison. The coroner's office today released the name of the 6-year-old girl who was mowed down by a suspected drunk driver on a Fullerton sidewalk yesterday. The child has been identified as Grace Aguilar of Fullerton. She was fatally struck by 52-year-old Maximo Delgado, blood alcohol level 0.23%. In the aftermath of the Valentine's Day massacre at a Parkland, Florida high school, Southern California Congressman Adam Schiff says Congress must take on the gun control issue. And winter weather advisory is in effect from 6 o'clock this evening until 3 a.m. Tuesday for the L.A. and Ventura County mountains. Expect possible road closures and delays along the 5 through the Grapevine, the 14 through Soledad Canyon, and the 33 above Ojai. KABC SoCal weather, partly cloudy today, highs in the 60s. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a 20% chance of rain, lows in the mid-40s to around 50. I'm Gary Garrison, Talk Radio 790 KABC News.
Chef Jamie Gwen here. At Hoffi, making delicious is what they do. Family-owned for over 85 years, Hoffi is true to its roots and embracing the future, honoring tradition with great flavor and quality. Hoffi Original Recipe Beef Franks are made with the highest quality 100% beef and the family's special spice blend. Whether you need a quick, delicious weekday meal or a hearty feast while watching your favorite teams with friends, Hoffi Premium Beef Franks provide the quality and flavor you need. And don't forget Hoffi Bacon-Wrapped Hot Dogs. They've put together two all-time favorites that will make everyone happy. In fact, at Hoffi, that's just what they do. Hoffi, making delicious, making happy. You can stock up on a variety of Hoffi hot dogs at Smart and Final stores in Southern California and find recipes and ideas for dinner tonight at HoffiBrand.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Guys, this may be the last time you ever have to think about hair loss. Because I'm telling you, Bosley is the real deal. They're giving men their hair back permanently. Their real hair. All it takes to get started on the hair gain train is a single text message. You'll get an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card when you text FUN to 85850. Check them out now. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Dude, this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're America's number one hair restoration expert, ahead of the curve with the latest technology. And the best part, Bosley's solution is permanent. You're going to love what they'll do for your hair. So drop what you're doing long enough to send a text. Get your free information kit and gift card for $250 off by texting FUN to 85850. Don't forget, that's FUN to 85850.
It's delicious, it's divine, it's food and wine. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio every weekend. I'm dishing with Mark C. Stevens, the author of Cooking with Spices, and we're balancing flavors and savoring the goodness in your spice cabinet. Where we left off, Mark, we were roasting and toasting, and now I think we should cook by region as you lay it out in the book. So could we start in Asia, South Pacific? Would you teach us to make a homemade Chinese five-spice blend, please?
Sure. So five-spice blend is something that's very common. You'll see it, obviously, in China, but all over Southeast Asia, and specifically in Vietnamese food. So it's good to have on hand, and it's nice to make your own as well, because it can cost a pretty penny if you buy it pre-mixed in the store. So you will want to set aside some star anise,
yes,
some cinnamon or cassia, whichever you may have, fennel seeds, cloves, and if you can get your hands on them, some Szechuan peppercorns. And if you can't, regular peppercorn or a mignonette blend of peppercorns will do.
Will work just fine. Can you go back for a moment? Cassia versus cinnamon. We're seeing a lot more cassia. I think that this, 2018 is the year of cinnamon. Just forecasting my, you know, my food forecast for the year. But I think cinnamon's going to have its day. Do you have a preference over the two?
I do not. I tend to lean on the cassia side, which is most of the time when you're buying cinnamon here in the U.S., it's what you're buying. It's a little bit sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
And in some countries, they actually have to distinguish between cassia and cinnamon on the label, which is known as Ceylon cinnamon.
Right.
And I prefer cassia myself, and luckily enough, that's probably what you're buying.
Yes, and I will search it out. If there are a choice or a variety of cinnamons, I look for the Ceylon. I like that sweeter hint to offset the bitiness.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just beautiful. And so this is a toasty-roasty recipe.
This is, yeah. Throw
Yay.
Them all in there. Give them a toast. Watch them, of course. They're gonna toast at different times. And then when you get them out, put them into your, I have two different coffee grinders, one for coffee and one for cinnamon. Before that, all of my coffees tasted like chili peppers. And so throw them all in there, and you have Chinese five-spice blend. And the nice thing about this one is you don't have to pulverize it down into a really fine powder. It's nice to have a little bit of chunks in there of this or that, and then when you put it in whatever you're cooking, it'll thin out.
Oh, and I want to crust a big, beautiful piece of ahi and just sear it to perfection and make an Asian slaw with toasted cashews and ginger dressing. And you want to come over for dinner?
Yeah, will you call me that night?
Yes, I will call you that night. I promise. I'll call you in advance so you can jump on a flight. I think I could very easily glaze that ahi steak with South Pacific honey paste as well, if I really wanted to amp up the flavor. And I love your recipe for, you call it a marinade, but it would really make a gorgeous glaze as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I am a sucker for honey. I just think it is the most magical flavor, and I have way too much of different kinds of it in my cabinet.
Yes.
So you'll see a lot of honey in the book, but I feel like spices just bring so much to offset that sweetness that you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And so some black peppercorns, some chilies, some cloves, kaffir lime leaf, not the easiest thing to find, but you definitely can with just a little bit of research online or your local spice store. Some Thai ginger, what's known as galangal, and ground ginger, lemongrass, mint, salt, and honey. And again, you're a lover of the toasting, because this is another one where you're going to toast the peppercorns, chilies, cloves. and then grind them all up with the lime leaf, and then combine them all, and then melt down the honey, and then put it all together, and
nice.
You have a sort of a magical Asian dish.
Let's talk one of what I think is an extraordinary topper, a finisher, a very elegant, impressive kind of wow your guests in all of its simplicity kind of sauce. And of course, from the Americas, we make a chimichurri here. There's something brilliant about that, you know, bulk combination of fresh herbs. And I call it a garden sauce because I tend to go out and pick what I have. And my chimichurri always tastes a little bit different. And that's what I love about it.
I love that description of it. It is sort of exactly the spirit of it, too. And I picked this sauce up backcountry hiking in Patagonia and ended up in Bariloche, which is the hometown of a hero of mine and many others, Francis Malman, and was treated to some amazing dinners by some local friends there. And I took that and threw a ancho chili in there because I like a little bit of heat.
Nice.
Optional for the reader, but I can't get enough of it. And I love it with a lot of parsley.
Yes, me too.
And mint and tarragon. But you can preferentially dole those out as you see fit, right? If you like one more than the other. And we also here like to throw some pickled onions. Go down to the local Hispanic market and get some of those pickled onions that they soak in chilies.
I'm loving that.
There as well.
Oh, I'm so loving that.
Healthy amount of olive oil, salt and pepper and lemon juice. And,
right.
And you've arrived, you grill a steak on some open fire coals and throw that on top. There's nary a guest that will leave disappointed.
Yeah, okay, you call me that night. Okay?
We'll do a trade-off.
There we go. We thank Argentina, of course, for the churrascarillas and the chimichurri. And
absolutely.
Oh, I just love that herbaceousness. And like you said, grill a ribeye, slice it out, you know, lay it on a plank, and spoon some of that chimichurri over the top, and you've got it made. Have it made? Leave us with this. Do you have a favorite spice? One maybe new, different, not well known, that we can all learn, aspire to, or incorporate into our dishes for that, you know, a 2018 fresh approach to flavor?
I actually do. It's really funny that you asked that. It is sumac.
I love
sumac. I've developed
sumac.
An healthy obsession with sumac through the course of writing this book. And most people will think, like, poison sumac? And it's a relative of that. And it's used heavily in Turkish and Middle Eastern and North African Maghrebian cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in Europe after a late night and you get a kebab, they'll ask you if you want some sumac on it. But it is this pungent, tart, lemony, but also flowery spice.
You use it in everything. So are you using it in a marinade? Are you using it in a rub? Do you use it as a, like we would as a finishing salt?
I have a shaker on the table.
You
and
do?
And I just put it on whatever comes out.
Oh, that's just so Turkish. I love it.
Yeah, at the end, I put it on eggs this morning, hamburgers, anything
it.
The occasion calls for. I tend to think it comes in at the end. You're going to lose a lot of flavor if you cook it. However, it is a wonderful component to my kitchen.
I love it. You couldn't have left us with a better tip or trick, so thank you. Sumac
You're
it
welcome.
Is. Mark, I would like to continue to explore regions with you and savor spices. So you will come back, right?
It would be my absolute pleasure.
Thank you. I'd love to have you. So you will hear Mark C. Stevens here again. I'm going to mark him as our resident spice expert. I'm crowning you, Mark. And
I feel honored.
Yeah, well, yes. And so you've been kinged, or however you'd like to put it. and we're going to share more of Cooking with Spices, the new cookbook release from Mark C. Stevens, throughout this year. And your dishes are going to come alive with flavor. So first things first, if your dried spices are in the cabinet next to the stove, move them and get ready, because Mark C. Stevens is going to enlighten us to more truly scrumptious flavor. you can start to master the technique of balancing flavor and spice and transforming your dishes. The book is available on Amazon and everywhere. Again, it's called Cooking with Spices, 100 recipes for blends, marinades, and sauces from around the world. And it is a tremendous education. And you can follow Mark and his culinary escapades at Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and more. Mark C. Stevens _ is his tag. Mark, always a pleasure. Thank you for sharing your passion, and I'll meet you back here soon.
All right. See you in New Orleans, James.
I'll see you in New Orleans. Thank you. There is more informative, entertaining, and delicious conversation as it abounds. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. I'll be right back.
Whether you need bananas for lunch, tri-tip for dinner, or party goods for the weekend, you'll find everything you need at Smart & Final. Smart & Final has the low prices of a Walmart, the big sizes of a Costco without the membership fees, plus the freshness of your local supermarket. Smart & Final. Warehouse prices, big and small sizes.
Talk radio on radio. 790 KABC.
Chef Jamie Gwen here. I'm a Southern California girl through and through, so I grill year-round, don't you? But does your barbecue impress? Well, I love my Twin Eagles grill. The infrared burner that sears a steak to perfection. The rotisserie for everything from chickens to prime rib. The flat top for the ultimate cheeseburger. Oh, it is a grill master's dream. And I really don't believe that there's a better grill on the market. My Twin Eagles grill will last for seasons to come because Twin Eagles manufactures premium grills. And it's the performance of the grilling system that sets Twin Eagles apart. Seamless, welded, stainless steel construction and quality that you can immediately see, feel, and trust. And Twin Eagles grills are made in the USA. To learn more about the complete line of Twin Eagles outdoor kitchen equipment and to locate a showroom near you, visit TwinEaglesGrills.com.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
By the time that we got up there, his room was filled with smoke.
The wind had blown and drifted the snow up against the side of my house, blocking the exhaust from my furnace.
I heard the smoke alarm going off in my friend's apartment.
Without the Kidde's smoke alarm, my son would not be here today.
And had it not been for that carbon monoxide detector, they would come to school and not have their teacher there.
I grabbed my fire extinguisher and put out the fire.
Kidde makes technology that saves lives.
Get these essential products at the Home Depot.
Hey, Dan, can you believe it's our 10-year anniversary of getting a great night's sleep?
I know, Trina. For 10 years, ZQuiet has been helping couples like us kick snoring out of bed. Think of the millions of lives we've changed.
And that all happened years before other snoring companies showed up on the scene. ZQuiet really started a revolution.
Hi, we're Dan and Trina. As the founders of ZQuiet, people often ask, what sets us apart from the competition?
It's easy. Snoring was our problem, and we know what night after night of snoring does to a relationship. Visit GetZQuiet.com.
ZQuiet was developed to treat my snoring, and we realized there were other couples that were desperate for a simple and effective solution.
We're so proud that ZQuiet has become America's trusted name in snoring solutions.
Get ZQuiet and kick snoring out of bed forever.
Get $20 off the regular price when you text BED to 246810 or go to GetZQuiet.com. Text BED to 246810 or go to GetZQuiet.com and get $20 off today.
In 3, 2, 1.
Coming up on The Next Drive Home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we'll fill you in on all the latest details about the Florida school shooting.
And, of course, we'll fill you in on the latest details where the U.S. is in standing with the Olympics and how many medals we've got, plus Black Panther. Did it or didn't it over the weekend? You know it did.
Well, how many medals did Black Panther get? Live and local, right after Dr. Drew and Lauren Savant, right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Thank you.
Insightful culinary conversation abounds every Sunday in your radio. Welcome back. Chef Jamie Gwen here. There is a fascinating new read set to release, of which I got a sneak peek, from Dr. Rachel Herz, a neuroscientist who teaches at Brown University and Boston College, that explains human eating habits, the term being touted as neurogastronomy. It's a new field of study that explains so much about food-related behaviors, and the book is absolutely intriguing. It's titled Why You Eat What You Eat, and it boons insights that bring a better understanding for our love of food, and I am delighted that the author, Dr. Rachel Herz, is here to dish. I'm glad to have you. Hi, Dr. Herz.
Hi, Jamie. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you. Congratulations. The book is getting lots of advanced clout, I should say, because I think our love for food definitely deepens that fascination of, as you titled it, why we eat what we eat, or why you eat what you eat. But this term neurogastronomy is a new field of study, yes?
Yes, it started by Gordon Shepherd, who is a physiologist at Yale University, who first wrote about it in a Nature paper in 2006, and then he wrote a book called Neurogastronomy in 2012, which explains how the brain creates flavor.
Okay, so this concept of neurogastronomy is not only, you speak about in the book, the way brain creates flavor, but how we perceive it, right? So at the heart of your research, your mind plays an incredible role in how you eat.
Absolutely. So the book really has two major prongs. One is all the sensory characteristics that go into our perception of food that we may not be aware of. And the other is more of the psychological and the neuroscience side of things, and how things like labeling, the number of people we're with, the occasion when we're eating, and so on, all of those things can go into manipulating our experience of food and even the consequences of eating it. Things that people may have no idea about.
I found it absolutely intriguing to read of your research, very specifically. Can we talk about the candy bowl effect, please?
Sure. Well, this is something that I personally practice, which is do not leave your candy bowl beside you if you want to not be constantly eating and discover that the bowl is empty when you get up from your desk or wherever you're sitting. And so this was research which showed that if you keep treats nearby, you will eat much more of them than even if they're just, you know, 4 or 5 feet away. So basically capitalizing on the fact that we're all somewhat inherently lazy, and that if we actually have to expend some energy, like get up and go somewhere to get a Hershey's Kiss or whatever the case might be, we're going to be less inclined to do it than if it's just sitting right in front of us. So the key is to keep your candy at more than arm's reach. And also another trick in connection to this is that if your candy is in a bowl that you can't see through, that is to say you can't see that there's candy in it even though you may know it, it's less of a lure than if you have a transparent, let's say, glass bowl and you see those chocolates sitting in there, because that can help motivate you to actually get up and walk across the room.
Okay.
So keep your candy far away and in non-translucent bowls.
Okay, and only because you and I just met, but you seem to know me, I've now decided that the glass bowl of Hershey's Kisses that you alluded to has to go. I love the fact that you speak to the interplay of the environment and pleasure and how it affects us. Because for those of us who, at the heart, truly love food, and I say it often, Dr. Herz, love to cook, love to eat. I mean, it's how I show love. You don't always realize its extraordinary influence.
Absolutely. And I also love to cook and especially love to eat. And I think that food really is about love. I think that, you know, we need to be able to enjoy and take pleasure back with food and not be afraid of it and not have all sorts of guilt and other emotions surrounding it. We need to be able to understand all the mechanisms that go into our relationship with food. And that's what I'm hoping this book will do, so people can take back the meal and be able to put themselves in control and really get more pleasure from eating.
Definitely so. Okay, could we speak to something tangible, which I thought was really interesting to read? You speak to how price impacts taste in the book, and referencing a bottle of wine. So if I tell you that we're going to open a very special bottle of wine, and you assume that it has a high price tag, will you like it more?
Yes, you will. So we're very influenced by labeling when it comes to everything that we consume. And we have all sorts of ideas and ideals that we've inculcated through culture. Like, you know, the more expensive bottle of wine must be better, when in fact that's not even true. And the interesting thing is it's not just wine novices or casual wine drinkers that are fooled, but wine connoisseurs are fooled just as much.
The power of an emotional response. Amazing. And then last but not least, and this was absolutely outrageous. We, in the state of California, you know, we're required now to bring bags into the grocery store. And it might be my demise. I have like 100 of them in my trunk of my car, but I seldom remember them. This concept of bringing reusable bags into a store resulting in different purchases, absolutely
That's
brilliant.
Right. Yeah, so this was actually, there is a little bit of a caveat because, like you said, in California, because you have to bring your own bag, some of the effects aren't as strong because when people feel forced, it's a sort of a little bit of a different psychology. But the one thing that remains, so everyone who has to bring their own bag actually tends to buy more organic produce and products than if they don't bring their own bag. And secondly, and this is especially the case when you are not forced by penalty to have your own bag, but that you do it of your own accord, you buy yourself more treats. And this is something that is done fairly subconsciously. So people put more chocolate-covered cherries into their basket when they are bringing their own bag than when they're not.
Okay, then
because we reward ourselves for our virtues.
Right, then I'll try to remember my own bags. And then as we have gathered this season with friends and family, there is a benefit, new year, new you, eating lean and clean, to dining alone, as you say, right?
Well, although it's not socially as much fun
yes,
in
of
any
course.
Way, shape, or form, there are two benefits. One is that you can actually be more engaged with your food, because in any time you're distracted, and that whether that be because you're watching TV while eating or because you're engrossed in a lively conversation, you're paying less attention to what you're eating, and we tend to eat more because we're not getting as much savoring satiation from the food because we're not really paying attention to it. So paying attention while we're eating and not being distracted is really key, and being alone is part of that. But the other thing is that the more people we eat with, and it's basically like an exponential scale, the more people we eat with, the more we tend to eat. So when you're at the big party, you eat way more than you do with just one or two friends. And so if you eat alone, you're also likely to eat less.
Absolutely extraordinary research. It's a wonderful read. Congratulations to you. And it's getting lots of attention and lots of acclaim. And no doubt with new discoveries and insight as to why you eat what you eat. The title of the new book, a very much anticipated release from Dr. Rachel Herz, These Facts and Many More, explored in Why You Eat What You Eat. If you're looking for a better understanding, stop and consider why you eat what you eat and the science and psychology of eating. It is a must read for sure, available on Amazon now. And you can learn more about Dr. Rachel Herz's research at rachelherz.com. Dr. Herz, thank you. Always a pleasure. Really fascinating, fascinating stuff.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk to you.
A pleasure. And so that brings us to the end of another hour of gastronomic inspiration. If you're hungry for beautiful food, remarkable wines, and juicy conversation, then I hope that you'll tune in every weekend. I'll leave you with my last bite for the hour, my last ounce or tidbit of culinary conversation. I have a breakfast treat for you. It's a quick fix and I love it. And with grapefruit season here, always during the winter when the weather turns cooler, it's a wonderful way to savor the best citrus. It's a broiled grapefruit with shredded coconut. And yes, I love anything bruleed, like creme brulee with that sugary top is beautifully transformed to a breakfast treat. When you start with a large grapefruit, and you can use turbinado or any kind of rough ground sugar. Honey works, agave works well too. And then you need a couple of tablespoons of shredded coconut. You can do this actually with a fire starter, you know, with a fire gun, or you can preheat the broiler of your oven and put an oven rack on the top rung closest to the broiler, or of course pull out your kitchen blowtorch. And you cut the grapefruit in half and you run your knife around the inside edge. You separate the flesh from the pith and you individualize or separate every grapefruit segment, making it easier to eat. And then you spread a thin layer of whatever sugar of choice that you have chosen, whether it's that turbinado, honey, agave, or otherwise, over the top of the grapefruit. Place it on a baking sheet and either broil or kitchen blowtorch it until the edges are all brown and caramelized and delicious. And then let the grapefruit cool for a few minutes, sprinkle it with shredded coconut, and indulge. Oh, it's such a delicious breakfast. And I will post the recipe on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, on social at Chef Jamie Gwen. I'll also meet you here next weekend when there is lots more fabulous food in your radio. I thank you for listening. I'm Chef Jamie Gwen signing off, and I hope you continue to eat well.
This show furnished by Taste Bud Entertainment.